Hello and welcome to the Slate Political Gab Fest for June 8th, 2019, the Slate Day Edition. We are live at the SBA Theater in Chelsea in Manhattan as part of Slate Day. I'm David Plotz of Atlas Obscura. I am joined on stage by the New York Times Magazine and Yale University's Emily Bazelon. Hello, Emily.
Hey.
And John Dickerson cannot be with us today, but that's okay. We have somebody better, somebody who's not going to bore us with stories of walrus mustachioed presidents.
Well, you never know.
Maybe she will. Yeah, maybe she will. I don't know. So sitting in between me and Emily is Nicole Hannah-Jones, also, like Emily, a New York Times Magazine staff writer, author of a forthcoming book, The Problem We All Live With, a New Yorker. And I would note that there, one of the three of us on stage is a MacArthur genius. And we're going to ask, let's have a guess. Who thinks that I'm the MacArthur genius? Thank you. Who thinks that Emily is the MacArthur genius?
No, you know that that's not true.
Who thinks that, is it Nicole? Yeah.
Never gets old.
Do you feel like that's going to be the first line in your obituary?
Well,
or in the profile
I'm hoping that advancements in science will not, you know, lead me to need an obituary.
Oh, that's a good answer.
Whoa.
That's a really ambitious answer.
On this special Slate Day show, we're going to talk about who is going to win the crucial African-American vote in the Democratic primary and why. Then, the government is preparing an antitrust assault on the big four of Silicon Valley, Facebook, Google, Amazon, and Apple. Should they be broken up? What would happen if they were? And then the resegregation of America's public schools and how it's particularly damaging here in New York City. Plus, we're going to have cocktail chatter. African Americans are the core constituency of the Democratic Party. They're at least 20% of Democratic primary voters. In the key early primary state of South Carolina, they will be 60% of primary voters. And it's been fascinating to watch the competition for black votes among the 347 declared Democratic presidential candidates. And it promises to be even more intense as voting approaches. So, Nicole, here we are. We're still months and months from the first voting. What is the general shape of African-American support so far? If you look at the polls, it's leaning quite heavily to Joe Biden and not very much to the black candidates who are in the race.
Yeah, there's been a lot of interesting reporting on this in the last few weeks. And I think from my own reporting on elections in the past and just reading and also talking to my family members, black folks are and almost always tend to vote on civil rights and mostly these days on trying to hold on to what gains they've had. And so when you look at the stories that are coming out, black voters are saying very clearly, not that they think Joe Biden is the best candidate, but that they think he has the best chance of winning. That this kind of backlash that we saw following Obama's presidency has led many black voters to think very practically that you have to have a white man if you want to beat a white man.
Emily, do you think that theory of the case holds? I mean, it's hard to know because we're so far away from the election. But what's the evidence that the white manness overpowers the kind of excitement that a woman, a person of color, a progressive might bring?
I mean, right now it seems like the most plausible scenario, right? In part because the field itself hasn't been that tested yet. And so we're talking about people based on their past records and the very beginning of their candidacies. And Joe Biden hasn't had a chance to blow it yet, which is what has happened in the past when he's run for president. He may not blow it this time, but there's a kind of idealized, oh, I've heard of this guy, name recognition basking in the glow of his vice presidency with Obama that he's benefiting from right now, not just with African Americans, with lots of Democrats. And I don't think we know whether it's going to last.
But I mean, for either of you, do you think, I mean, the weird thing about Biden is that on civil rights issues and on issues that of concern to African Americans, he hasn't been particularly good or progressive. I mean, his record is, he was against school busing, right? And he was
every other white person at the time.
Well, I mean, he's old enough to have been, old enough to have had
He's more on the record, right? Because he was in government in the
70s. Yeah, I don't think that, again, I don't think it's his record that is leading to the broad support among Black Americans. I don't think there's a lot in his record you can point to that would lead Black folks to support him. I do think it is practical, though it's only practical until there's not a need to be practical. And we can look at what happened when Obama runs the first time, which is Hillary had the most support in Black communities until Obama won the Iowa primary. And then once Black people saw that, oh, a Black man actually could win a white state, then their support very quickly shifted. So you could see something happen very similarly in this case. Right now, it seems like the practical vote, but we're so early, I think it's hard to tell what's going to happen with that. If I could add one more thing, the other thing I think is the media has clearly played a huge role in this narrative that you have to have the candidate who can bring white voters back. Now, the truth is, we know white working class voters, depending, some of them left the party, some didn't, but Obama didn't win with the majority of the white vote. No Democrats win with the majority of the white vote. But we have pushed that narrative out repeatedly since the Trump election. And I think that that is also influencing the way Democratic voters are thinking about candidates.
Right, because then African-American voters, along with other Democrats, start thinking through the lens of who's going to solve this problem with the white working class.
That's right.
Biden seems plausible. Another narrative of the electorate is that it was declining participation and voting by Black voters in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin that helped sink Hillary. And so you could make an argument that actually the person who gets Black voters the most excited could solve that turnout problem. And that would be another lens through which to view this question, which could change the calculus.
Do you guys think that there's reason to think that Biden actually would be that person? Because neither of you is saying anything that makes me think, oh, Biden is the candidate whom Black voters have heart for. It's sort of like this is a strategic vote, and so there's the possibility that a significant number of Black voters will find heart for somebody else, right, and get excited about somebody else.
I think the least surprising thing in the world was that Black voting went down after a historic Black presidency. So, part of it was Hillary, but part of it was they also had record rates of voter participation to vote Obama in and then keep him in office, and there was no candidate who was going to have that same level of support. We also have not talked nearly enough about all of the voter suppression that occurred in those same states as
GabFest fans, that was just a teaser. To hear the rest of our Slate Plus conversation, go to slate.com/GabFestPlus to become a Slate Plus member today.
Hi, I'm Josh Levine. My podcast, The Queen, tells the story of Linda Taylor. She was a con artist, a kidnapper, and maybe even a murderer. She was also given the title the Welfare Queen, and her story was used by Ronald Reagan to justify slashing aid to the poor. Now, it's time to hear her real story. Over the course of 4 episodes, you'll find out what was done to Linda Taylor, what she did to others, and what was done in her name.
The great lesson of this, for me, is that people will come to their own conclusions based on what their prejudices are.
Subscribe to The Queen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening right now.
I'm Dahlia Lithwick, and I'm host of Amicus, Slate's podcast about the law and the U.S. Supreme Court. We are shifting into high gear, coming at you weekly with the context you need to understand the rapidly changing legal landscape. The many trials of Donald J. Trump, judicial ethics, arguments and opinions at SCOTUS. We are tackling the big legal news with clarity and insight every single week. New Amicus episodes every Saturday, wherever you listen.